Hi, everybody. This is Brett, and welcome back to School Sucks Podcast for March 13th, 2011. Today's show, a continuation of the last. In that previous discussion, I veered a little bit off course to discuss some of my experiences working for these very bureaucratic tutoring companies. And I said that, you know, that culture is just a product of growing up on state money. And recently, one of the companies sent me an email saying all tutors, all people who go in and out of these schools for any reason are required to watch this video about bullying. This is the Department of Education, the Federal Department of Education, in conjunction with the state, New Hampshire State Department of Education. This is their answer to all of these problems we've been hearing about in the news related to bullying, related to teen suicide. They are springing into action with a solution that probably contains plenty of new problems. I'm not going to play this webinar, which is a seminar on the web for people who couldn't attend these bullying awareness seminars in person. I'm not going to play the whole thing. I'm going to give you about 25 minutes of it. I wanted to play it uninterrupted, but it's just too excruciating. I have to warn you that the sound quality is also awful. You're going to hear basically a crackling the whole way through. And I really apologize, but I can't really accept full responsibility for how people at the Department of Education record their webinars. So, if you make it through this, congratulations in advance. It is pretty excruciating. I did decide, as I was sitting there listening to it, that I really had to add some of my own commentary, as if I was sitting in as a presenter. So, I hope you find this somewhat enlightening. And you're not going to really learn anything from this seminar, but you might. But I really wanted it to go into the record here as an example just how brain-deadening and soul-sucking this system really is for the people who it employs. And as this next half hour progresses, you'll see that I start up in the top of the tree hacking at leaves and branches with them. That's the only place they ever hang out. But then as the show goes on, I try to work my way down. Look forward to your feedback. Thank you for listening and take care.
Welcome to Understanding the New Bullying Law and District Policies webinar. Presenting today will be April DeRozier, our Title IV Safe and Drug-Free Schools Program Director. In the room with her is Stephanie Lafreniere, our Title I Director, and I'm going to help coordinate. I'm Deborah Krajcik, SES Coordinator and Title I Consultant.
And I'm Brett Vinat, the host of School Sucks Podcast.
Good afternoon. I know you can't respond. This is very strange talking to people and not hearing from you, so I'll do my best. Okay, can you switch to the... You should be able to see. I started on the first page just sort of showing some examples of things that we think of when we're working around the issue of bullying. The girls on the right are probably texting and sharing that text, and the social media is huge. Cyberbullying, the girl on the far right, cyberbullying perhaps, and she's using her cell phone. Some of the emotional reactions. Girl bullying is often social, emotional, and excluding. Kids saying mean things about them behind their backs. The boys at the top are more typical of what people think of when they think of bullying. They think of a bigger boy to a smaller or younger boy. These are all aspects of bullying. And I just wanted to say that all of you are working with kids in a very unique way. You're working with them one-on-one. You might be the ones that hear what they have to say or share. They might be talking about themselves.
A really good point. And first of all, I just want to apologize on behalf of all the presenters in this webinar for the really, really shitty audio quality. This is a good point that's initially made here, that people who work in tutoring or in small groups with these kids do have a unique vantage point when it comes to not only observing but ultimately understanding some of the personal issues behind what shows up as far as academic problems. Things going on at home, things going on socially at school, maybe some emotional issues. We do get a better look at that than most people do. But of course, I don't want to stray from the primary purpose of this Department of Education webinar, which is to talk on the subject of bullying for 40 minutes without coming anywhere near the root causes of the issue. And, of course, like the other presenter just said, while you have this unique vantage point, what you should really do is know the law. Know the law. I think the fellow presenters would agree with me that when something goes wrong in these schools, what we do is we look for ways to do crackdowns, right? We don't go after the root of the issue, because that's dangerous, and that could upset some people. So we blame students, and then we make new laws and new rules. Deb, back to you.
The state of New Hampshire has required that all school districts run a workshop so that everybody understands what's expected of them and what the new law says. And I don't know what happened, but some of you are associated with school districts. You work in school districts. You're teachers that do this after school. I recommend that you go to your district's workshops. This is not to replace it, but this is being offered for folks that might not be associated with a school district and might not be thought of, remembered to be included in this training. So we're just going to cover all the bases here, and hopefully this will enlighten you.
Yeah, it won't.
Okay, the rest of this is going to be not as interesting as my pictures. Sorry.
She's right.
Okay, and it's going to look like this.
PowerPoint.
I wanted to start with the policy and law statement from Kevin Jennings, who is the man who is in charge of the Office of Safe and Drug-Free Schools with the U.S. Department of Education.
Oh, in that case, I'd like to file a report. It sounds like he's the person to do it with. There are thousands of school psychologists who are handing out drugs to kids every day in these schools. Literally thousands. Is there a form I can fill out or something?
He just says that some might say a policy is not going to solve this problem. And they're right. By itself, a policy won't end bullying. But there can be no solution to this problem without a clear policy. When we put in place clear policies, we set expectations for student conduct and empower educators to uphold standards for good behavior.
If you left your bureaucratic euphemism decoder ring at home, let me just translate that last statement. Empower educators to uphold standards. That is talking about discipline, like being able to do the crackdown. The theme for today is crackdown, paperwork, crackdown, procedure.
Without policies, that work becomes all that much harder, if not impossible. So it gives us some clear guidelines. We know that a policy alone can't solve the bullying problem, but it's the foundation on which a solution can be built.
We're going to work on foundations here.
The U.S. DOE response is just to let you know that on a national level, all states are doing this. It's not just New Hampshire. Technical assistance has been provided by Arne Duncan, the U.S. DOE Secretary of Education, for states with clear expectations for designing state law and district policies. And I've got this link here. If any of you are writing things down, please feel free to copy that, bullyinginfo.org. I'm in the process of updating my web page, and all of this information will show up on there soon, I'm hoping. But if you want to go browse through this, please feel free to look in there. There's everything you need. And that's being offered up from the U.S. DOE.
And this is important, too, the U.S. DOE, that they, I think they said, as far as making laws in states goes, it's important to have, well, what was the language? Clear guidelines. And clear guidelines are important to come from the federal Department of Education, you know, through an office in Washington, to be disseminated out across the entire country, because we know that all schools are pretty much the same. All students pretty much have the same needs, the same problems. They have the same socioeconomic background. They have the same family situation. They have the same social situation. They live in similar places. So what we'll do is we'll have kind of a top-down solution as far as what each state should do, and when we won't even do it like on a district level or on a school level, like looking at what the needs are of the school, looking at the school climate, the school environment, particular challenges that might be unique to a certain neighborhood, to a certain academic atmosphere. No, what we'll do is we'll start the whole thing in Washington, we'll make the rules there, and then we'll just give it to you, and then you will enact that policy from the Federal Department of Education in your school. But it's going to be great.
So we're not alone. All of us are doing this work, not just New Hampshire. And this is a map that just shows how state laws on bullying, which states have those laws, and this was as of October. And there's only about four or five states that are in process. They haven't completed their bullying laws. So we're in good company.
Good company. Everybody's cracking that whip.
All right, here we go. RSA 193 has always been about people's safety and violence prevention. This particular one, dash F, if you're looking through law, you'll see, oh my goodness, it's all about people's safety and violence prevention. This particular law is about the bullying, specifically. The law was amended in, just a little history, was amended in 2010 at a legislative session there. The law came into effect July 1st of this past year, 2010. Legislation reaffirms that, and this is quoted from them, one of the legislature's highest priorities is to protect children from physical, emotional, and psychological violence by addressing the harm caused by bullying and cyberbullying in our public schools. Okay, so just a little intro. The law is trying to tell us...
The law is trying to tell us?
That all pupils have the right to attend public schools that are safe, secure, and respectful environments.
Don't even have the right to attend public school.
The standards for school approval also direct that a district provide a safe and secure culture. So we're looking at climate and culture is really being at the heart of a lot of this. The intent of the law is for schools to protect against and address bullying and cyberbullying. We had a law, many of you may know, we had a law about bullying before, but it did not clearly specify, it did not define it very well, and it certainly didn't let us know what we needed to do to respond to it. This one really does.
With more penalties is what she means.
All school boards shall adopt a written policy prohibiting bullying and cyberbullying. Policies acknowledge that bullying and cyberbullying can occur both in the school setting and out of the school if it interferes with a student's educational opportunities or disrupts a school day or event. This is a little tricky to identify, but I think if you know kids, interfering with a student's educational opportunity could be lower self-esteem, withdrawal, poorer grades. There are lots of indicators that show that a child is not doing very well that could be unusual and different. It doesn't take much to dig that out and define that, but that's what they're really trying to get at. Disrupting a school day or event, those of you that are working with adolescents can see how the rumor mill gets going and more kids get involved and can really become very disruptive, perhaps in some areas that are less structured, like the playground or the cafeteria or during an assembly. But when you get digging in there, you usually can see what the heart of the problem is. The law also says that policies should be put in prominent places, such as sitting areas outside of offices. So hopefully someone is making it be known and putting these things out.
Masking tape?
There are 14 issues
they make at Staples,
that are
they make
outlined
this two-sided
in the law,
stick tape that would also work.
Must address those 14 issues, and I'm going to get into that in a moment. The policies must be in place by January 1st. So you're probably seeing at this point that your schools have them in place or have had them in place recently. Some may be lagging a little because they're waiting for school board meetings or whatnot. But these policies should be in every district, so you should be able to refer to your district policies.
We will have signs up.
Here are the 14 areas. Okay, take a deep breath. and, of course, they're alphabetized, so you can't tell. They're not in any particular order of significance. They're just listed. So the first one is that there has to be a statement prohibiting bullying and cyberbullying. A statement protecting all students from retaliation and false accusations, and a process for developing a plan as needed to protect students from retaliation. You know, so many times when somebody goes forward and says, so I'm going to tell on you, I'm going to let them know that you've been bullying me, and the bully says, if you do that, I'm going to whatever. And so that's protecting whoever is disclosing the information from being retaliated on. A statement that all students are protected. D, a statement of consequences for bullying and cyberbullying. In other words, we are going to do something about it. Most specifically, that it needs to stop.
For the record, that was not more specific.
E, a statement about how the policy is going to be disseminated to the whole school community. And this is why you're being trained. Everybody needs to know what the policy states. Teachers, staff, volunteers, bus drivers, custodians, nurses, anybody and everybody that works with the kids, as well as the kids themselves. Parents. F, a clear procedure for students and others to report incidents. G, internal procedure for reporting within the SAU or chartered community. H, a clear process for notification of parents or guardians of both the perpetrator, that would be the bully, and the victim within 48 hours of the report. So this is pretty powerful. It does not have to be shown that it is bullying, just the parents need to be notified that the report has been done. If you're making a report to your school about a possible bullying scenario, you're not the one who has to contact the parents. That's the job of whoever is taking the report, usually a principal, but it could be assistant principal. They have to designate who it is.
And just a quick side note here, for you public school teachers, if you have that, you know, one kid who's always giving you a hard time, and you know sometimes that he gives other kids a hard time, well, what we're providing you with here, because of all of this, is going to be law. So there's going to be, arrests that come from this in these schools. And we've seen that already. Because, like, we didn't do anything to deal with the bullying problem until, you know, kids started committing suicide, and that made national news. Because before that, I think, you know, maybe if we couldn't clearly grasp that idea that bullying was indeed a product of this just perpetually negative environment, we didn't have to spring into action here with 14-point plans until it was national news, until kids were committing suicide. Then it's like we are head-on taking on this problem. But like I was saying, teachers, this is a valuable tool for you to as kind of a behavior management strategy for that really difficult kid that you really don't like. You can fill out a report and say that he was bullying somebody. Because in any good crackdown, we have to broaden the definition of what the offense is. See how that works? So it's like we make more people doing something wrong. Just like that. You can see this over and over again in so many things we've done, like zero tolerance. We arrest elementary school kids for pointing chicken fingers at each other and shouting bang bang. We are fucking nuts. So here's how you can benefit. Cops will come to the school and arrest... Wait, the cops are already in the school. So the cop will come down the hall and just arrest the kid now. So keep that in mind. This is a pretty good way to retaliate against that kid who is always giving you trouble. We've got laws. Got some laws. And of course, we're not evil people. So I'm not saying that every time a kid does something that offends us or upsets us, we're going to have him dragged out of the class by the cops. But the threat of that, I mean, if the power disparity between you and your students isn't already great enough, where you still kind of get nervous sometimes, this is a powerful threat that you can employ in any situations where there is not 100% compliance. So keep that in mind.
I, a procedure for the superintendent to grant a waiver in writing from the notification requirement if the superintendent or designee deems the waiver to be in the best interest of the victim or the perpetrator. This is sort of like DCYF reporting. If we think that a child's going to be more at harm by disclosing to the parents right away, we want to do it in a safe environment, in a safe setting. So sometimes they are going to wait, and that's up to the superintendent, not to you. But it's good to know that they're supposed to do it in 48 hours, but if they haven't, there might be a good reason why they haven't. And that's the superintendent's call.
Safety.
J, a written procedure for investigation of reports within 5 days. So when they get a report on bullying, they have to do an investigation. And identification of the person responsible for the investigation and the manner and time in which the results of the investigation will be documented. And they have to have a person who's responsible for this. The superintendent or designee may grant an additional 7 days for the investigation. All parties must be notified of the extension. So typically within 5 days, but if you're heading up to a vacation or something, it might be when we get back or something along those lines. So it gives them another 7 days. K, A response is required by the principal or designee to remediate any substantiated incident in order to reduce risk of future incidents. This includes retaliation protection. In other words, they need to make sure this stops. That's pretty much what that says. And also that retaliation is not going to happen. L, a requirement that the principal or designee report all substantiated incidents to the superintendent or designee. So once that investigation has been done and it is deemed to be a bullying scenario, they need to do what they need to do so that this stops immediately.
Some of you might be asking, what is that? Well, it's a great question. What we are going to do, or what we are aiming to do, is stopping school bullying through the use of fear and force. So initially, we will use punishments and our own little form of, you know, legal retaliation against anything that we deem as a bullying incident. Kids will see that happening to other kids, and they will stop bullying. We're pretty sure that this is a fine way to address this problem without ever having to look at the origins of this problem. We are just nipping it right at the end there. And you might be saying to yourself, boy, you know, that whole approach of using intimidation to force compliance, that sounds a lot like the psychology of a bully. Shut up, or we'll punch you. Just kidding, we won't punch you. We're the good guys.
M, written procedure to communicate with the parents of the victim and perpetrator within 10 days of completion of the investigation regarding the school's remedies and assistance. There is some privacy issues there. They will let the victim and the perpetrator's parents know that they've done this, and they certainly will share what the consequences are, what they plan to do to help for the victim and for the perpetrator, but not necessarily the victim's parents knowing what the perpetrator's consequences are and vice versa. There is some privacy in that. So sometimes parents feel like nothing was done, but in fact it was, and it's private. Just as when you check in later to see, you know, what happened, they can say we did address it. They may not be able to give you a lot of specifics, but we've addressed it and it stopped. That's about as much as they can tell you. And the policy needs to state clearly by job title who is responsible for implementing the approved policy. So on a school level, if you don't know who your person is on the school level, always check with the principal, because they will identify who is implementing on a building level this policy. Are you all awake still in there? I can hear you. Okay. All SAUs and charter public schools shall provide training on prevention of bullying and cyberbullying as outlined in the policies we just went through, must be offered for all of the community within 9 months of the effective date. So the effective date was July 1st, so training by April 1st. This section, and annually thereafter. So every year there should be a review of what's going on. And hopefully, you know, we'll see schools building some of their prevention efforts in a meaningful way. And it's not just about bullying, but it's about school climate and culture. And certainly that accommodates an awful lot of concerns that we have for kids. Education and pupil safety and violence prevention must be provided for students and parents and guardians. They don't have a deadline on that, but that would also be a next level after you all get trained. What are the adults going to do to make sure parents and kids are also being trained and supported in this effort? Okay, this is the one that's really kind of interesting, and if any of you have worked around bullying in the past, you'll see that there's some changes here from the old law. Excuse me. So definitions, bullying means a single significant incident or a pattern of incidents involving a written, verbal, or electronic communication or a physical act or gesture or any combination thereof directed at another pupil.
And I should point out, in this law, that language of another pupil immediately, just in language alone, exempts teachers, school resource officers, gym teachers, administrators, parents, off the hook for bullying. It's focused on you kids. It's like brilliant. It's like one thing we're good at. Writing shit down on paper that absolves all of the guiltiest parties from any accountability.
And before I go on, I think that what's significant here is that we've almost always thought about bullying as being repeated, deliberate behavior, which I think it's more likely that's the case. But a single significant incident can also be bullying.
And I know you can't see this totally predictable path unfolding right in front of your eyes quite yet, but this is how people will get in trouble for bullying, maybe even legal trouble. Maybe even leading to court, because that happens a lot. School to court, school to jail. Just horsing around in the hall, play fighting, roughhousing. You know, two young, teenage, middle school, early high school kids who just want to stick their penis in something, trying to let out that energy. They'll get charged with bullying each other. Oh, I can see that happening.
So when these are directed at another pupil, which... one, physically harms a pupil or damages the pupil's property. Two, causes emotional distress to a pupil. And one of the significant things we know about victims is that they really do emotionally react heavily. Bullies like that.
The bullies do like that. It gives them a real feeling of empowerment. And teachers, you probably know that feeling, like when a kid has to go to the bathroom and you tell him he has to wait so many minutes, or kid really is excited about doing something, but you tell him that he can't do it until he finishes doing the thing that you're making him do, even though he doesn't want to. Real feelings of power make small people feel big.
But very often you'll see a lot of distress on the part of the victim. Three, interferes with a pupil's educational opportunities. They try to avoid school. They try to avoid being around the bullying. There's, like I talked about earlier, there's a lot of ways to show that. Four, creates a hostile educational environment. And, you know, this is like, I've seen this in schools where everybody just ignores the problem, but everybody's uncomfortable. That can be a hostile environment. Or five, substantially disrupts the orderly operation of the school. Those last three are a little trickier to try to quantify, thank you. But it can be done. You can investigate and get at those things and start to see what was going on. Bullying shall include actions motivated by an imbalance of power based on a pupil's actual or perceived personal characteristics, behaviors, or beliefs.
Only student-to-student power.
Or motivated by the pupil's association with another person and based on the other person's characteristics, behaviors, or beliefs. So sometimes somebody gets bullied because they're friends with somebody else. The imbalance of power is significant in identifying bullying. You don't always know that. Sometimes kids are mean. But the imbalance of power is usually at the heart of true bullying.
Stop right there. Stop right there. This goes on for another 15 minutes, but I don't think we need to go any further. And it certainly took some mining. But I think we extracted, finally, something valuable out of this Department of Education webinar here. The imbalance of power is at the heart of true bullying. Parents, take note. Teachers, take note. School resource officers, take note. Guidance counselors, school psychologists, politicians, union bosses, take note. It's the imbalance of power. We nailed it. Oh, but we're only talking about the children. Because that's all we could ever talk about. One time in the past on this show, I said something like, the truth will turn the glass houses of the adult world into houses of mirrors. And you know, children will have the exact same effect. And nobody likes what gets reflected back. The problem is children? Really? In a process that starts with money being forced out of people's pockets to force
people into attending these schools, where they are forced into compliance, where they are forced into meaningless production. At that point, if they can't comply and produce, then they are forced into taking drugs. And the problem is the kids? In an upcoming show, actually in the next show, I'm going to be having a conversation with a college professor. It's a discussion. I thought it might have been more of a debate, but it was actually pretty pleasant. He was talking about the problems with education today and asking the question, can we blame the students? Are the students at fault for all of this turmoil? And I kind of, you know, looked at his thesis, and just by changing a few operative words, I was able to transform it into mine, where he said all of these problems we currently see with students is essentially a cause of the failure of the public education system. Well, I would say that all of these problems that we currently see with students are the effect of the success of the public education system. This bullying issue, especially now that there's been this wave of suicides, of course they're going to pay lip service. Of course they're going to spring into action and make it look like there's a solution in the works. We'll see if it will be the next problem or not. I don't know. I mean, if history's taught us anything, probably. The government education system is the state's most valuable working program. It is their greatest success. And if kids are being taught to bully each other in these buildings, that serves so many of the state's interests. Philosophical, intellectual, physical. Are there incentives to make this problem go away? Well, I'll leave you today with a clip from a speech from the NEA General Counsel. His name is Bob Shannon. And this is his farewell address to about 8,000 NEA union delegates. It's kind of honest. And it's not just what he says that got me here. It's the reaction that what he says gets from a crowd of 8,000 public school educators. Thank you for listening, and take care.
That brings me to my final and most important point, which is why, at least in my opinion, NEA and its affiliates are such effective advocates. Despite what some among us would like to believe, it is not because of our creative ideas. It is not because of the merit of our positions. It is not because we care about children. And it is not because we have a vision of a great public school for every child. NEA and its affiliates are effective advocates because we have power. And we have power because there are more than 3.2 million people who are willing to pay us hundreds of millions of dollars in dues each year because they believe that we are the unions that can most effectively represent them, the unions that can protect their rights and advance their interests as education employees.
Watch how the world's progressing. Aggression, 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 aggression.